Good to have everybody here. Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret are not here. They are on their way, or possibly already there, but they're on their way to Jacksonville, Florida, to look after his mother and tend to her and see family. But anyways, they're going to miss a few services here, so be praying for them and that they'll be safe travels and enjoy their time, and it'll be good. Amen. Glory to God. You ready for the word tonight? I know it is ready for you. Praise God. We'll invite you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 19. We'll start there, Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to talk about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is the Bible. Is that all right? This is Wednesday night Bible study, isn't it? You know, I have a love affair with the Word that goes back to the time that I was in school. I grew up in church. My mom always had us in church. And if we weren't in church, my mom had Brother Copeland on the television. So that's interesting. You know, she would always say, if for some reason, you know, whatever the reason, but if some reason we didn't make it to church, then we sat down in front of the television and we were made to watch and listen to Brother Copeland. So I was listening to Brother Copeland from the time that I was really small. So anyways, during my school years, high school years, you know, I was, you know, an outspoken Christian and professed to be a Christian and was not ashamed of it, and even carried my Bible around school, just like I did my school books. But unfortunately, I didn't know what it said. So I was proud of it. I was proud to have it with me. But it, you know, it wasn't until I went to Oral Roberts University and met Sheila, and, you know, the call of God on my life led me to Rhema and all that. But, you know, it wasn't until Rhema that until I got to Bible school, that I truly began to develop a love for the Word. And you know, if you would have asked me up to that point where scriptures were, I had to look in the index, you know, in the front to find where books of the Bible were. And so it wasn't until that time that you know, I think when I met Sheila, she showed me that you can buy these little tabs that you put to show you where books of the Bible are. And so, you know, I put those on my first Bible that I had with her. But I began to fall in love with the Word. I began to see some things in the Word that I'd never seen before. And even to this day, you know, even to this day, when I open up my Bible in the morning, when I study, when I'm preparing a message, I always say, Lord, show me something I've never seen before so that I could experience a side of you I've never experienced before. So that I can see things about your Word that apply to my life. Because it is the truth that makes you free. Amen? And so anytime I open the Bible, I endeavor to see something about Him, about God, that I've never seen before. And you know, it never gets old. After all these years, you know, you would think after 25 plus years in the ministry, you'd know it all, right? But I don't. Far from it. Far from it. And so here in Proverbs 19, verse 20, it says, "Hear counsel," talking about godly counsel, of course, "hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in the latter end." One translation says that you may be wise later in life, or maybe even at the end of your life. Verse 21 says, "For there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." In other words, there are many plans in a man's heart. We have a lot of ideas about life, don't we? We have a lot of ideas about the way things ought to be and the way we think they ought to be. But notice it says there's many plans, many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In other words, that shall be carried out. And so how many of you know it's important that we seek after the counsel of the Lord? Right? You know, counsel, if you look up the word counsel, it's really... It's advice or instruction or opinions given upon request. So if you go to somebody for counsel, you are going asking for them to tell you something, right? If you go for counseling, you're coming and you're saying, I need answers. So tell me what I'm looking for. So counsel is advice, it's opinion, it's instruction that is solicited from somebody else. And of course, in talking about the counsel of the Lord, you're talking about direction that we get from God's Word. You know, everybody needs counsel, don't we? Consistently, every single day, we need guidance, we need direction in this life. You know, we face opportunities, good and bad. We face challenges. in life. And so when those times come, we need counsel. You know, I go to Tony all the time. I'm a car guy, man. I love to drive cars. But when it comes to this technology and stuff, and okay, let's just face it, I'm not a mechanic, all right? Old or new cars, Tony's my guy. Tony's my counsel. And so if something comes up, Tony's my first call. Hey, tell me where to look. Because now I want to try. I want to try to fix it if I can, because that's the kind of guy I am. I don't want somebody to do it for me. I want to try. But most of the time, Tony gives me counsel, and that counsel leads me to an answer. Are you listening to me? But now, how foolish would it be if I was having a problem with my car and I called Tony and I said, hey, this is what's going on. It's doing this or it's making this sound. And he says, you know what you need to do? Is you need to do this, this, and this, and it'll lead you to this, and that'll fix your problem. And I go, okay. And then I don't do any of it. How foolish would that be? Anybody like going to the dentist? Nobody likes going to the dentist except my wife. She loves going to the dentist. I don't know why. She's crazy. She loves going to the dentist. Well, how foolish would it be for you to go spend all that money to go to the dentist, and the doctor come in, the dentist come in and say, man, everything's looking real good, but I'd brush your teeth and floss a little bit more. And then you go, that's all right, I'm good. How foolish would that be? Right? So we face all kinds of different situations in life and areas in our life where we need good counsel, we need direction. But how many of you know if you're going to get counsel and you're going to get direction, that you have to follow that direction? I remember one time I was having a problem with a Ford Explorer that we had for many years. We loved that Explorer. It was a good vehicle, but man, it started just running rough, and it was like it was knocking or something, you know, it just wasn't running right. And so I had somebody tell me, I can't remember if it was Tony or somebody else, but I had somebody ask me where I bought my gas. Well, it just so happened I bought it at one of these grocery stores, you know. And so that person that I was talking to said, well, why don't you try going to a reputable gas station and not going to those grocery store gas stations, you know, go to a reputable one and use that fuel for a while and see if that don't fix the problem. Well, it did. It did. And so come to find out that a lot of times these gas stations that have the cheaper prices, the fuel's not as good. And so when I made that adjustment, then I started getting lasting results. Isn't that what we're after in life? Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not after a quick fix. I want a lasting result. I want something that's going to stick with it. I want something that's going to make the difference in my life, a lasting result that can be depended upon. And see, that's what we find. What does it say? There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, what does it say? That shall stand. Oh, glory to God. There's a scripture in Psalm 37, and I like this so much. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Everybody say, commit. Amen. And then over in Proverbs 16:3 and 16:9, in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your works unto the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Down in verse number 9, it says, we plan the way that we want to live. Oh, I love this in the Message Bible. It says, we plan the way that we want to live, but only God can make us able to live it. Isn't that so good? But that, notice that word commit. I saw something today that really blessed me. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him and He'll bring it to pass. That word commit, if you study this out, that word commit is an old Hebrew word that means to roll. So imagine taking a blank piece of paper. So here's what we're going to do. Imagine taking a blank piece of paper. And for illustrations, we're just going to use an orange and a white piece of paper here. It's bright. You can see it. And so we're going to take this piece of paper and we're going to crumple it up into a ball. All right? So we're crumpling this piece of paper up into a tight ball. And everybody say, this represents me. All right? Now, don't get confused. We're not talking about your life being a mess. Crumpled up. So this represents you. This ball represents your life and it represents the plans that you've made. Okay? So if you take this in context, the word says, commit your way unto the Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. This represents your plans. Now, picture another piece of paper. This paper is going to be crumpled up around and over the next piece of paper. So the idea being, now this is truly what this word means. It symbolizes and represents God's will and His plan for your life. So get a picture of this. The concept of surrounding your crumpled piece of paper with His paper is exactly what this word means. It means to engulf, to envelop, to literally roll up in. So Psalm 37:5 is talking about committing your heart, committing your plans, committing your ways to the Lord, to the point that you say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about what you want for me, it's about your desires for my life, and I'm laying this down. You see, what you're truly doing in this piece of paper, in this illustration, what you're truly doing is you're taking your life, that orange piece of paper, and you're engulfing the inner ball, the orange paper, you're rolling it up into God's life, and He's wrapped all around yours. To the point that it's like you're saying, you know, things may be going on in my life. Maybe I am crumpled up. Maybe I am facing something. But what's on the outside? God. You're on the inside. You're in His protection. He's looking after you. Your plans will succeed. Now notice something. These two pieces have become what? They've become one. So when they become one, one encompasses the other inside out. And so now wherever you take your piece of paper, who goes with you? God does. So now we've rolled ourselves up in Christ Jesus. And we're committed to Him. Wherever He goes, I go. Now you can take yourself out. You can remove yourself from His plan and His purpose and His direction. But I guarantee you, you will be vulnerable. You will be without protection. You will be without Him, which is what we need in this life. Understand something. Godly counsel, talking about godly counsel, is what we need in this life. And I always say this, you know, I'm a big reader. I love to read. I love to study history, and I love to study the Word and look things up and study the Hebrew and the Greek, and I love Rick Renner, and I love to read how words come about and where they come from and what it truly means when you break it down. I love information, and I love to study things out. And so I'm all about getting information. I'm all about getting education. But you've got to keep it sanctified. You've got to make sure if you're going to do those things and read a good book and listen to a good podcast and get people's counsel, other people's advice and other people's opinions, you've got to keep it sanctified. So yeah, stay informed. Yeah, get educated, but live in the light. See, that's the problem that we live in this life that we now live in is the world is full of darkness. Full of darkness. Live in the light. The Lord should be our constant resource for counsel. You know, a lot of people use the phrase, or they say kind of jokingly, just Google it. Just Google it. Why? Because Google knows everything. Right? Did you know this? And this might shock you. Google's not always reliable. Huh? My son refuses to Google. He refuses to look anything up because he's like, you never know if that's the truth or not. You can't Google because it's not reliable. Sure, we can get on there and you can get a general idea of which way you're going. But think about this. Google, and I read this, I thought it was funny because it was from Google. I Googled Google today. And what it said is this. It says that the things that you read on Google are a vision or a perception of content that's generated and it is not authentic. Google Googled itself. And that's what it said. Think about this. You know, you can't grasp the size of this. Google searches. You type something in. Texas Longhorns, you know. And it's going to come up the best team that's on the planet. It's going to come up all kinds of things, you know. And so you can Google Texas Longhorns. And did you know in a matter of half a second, less than a half a second, it will search over 3 billion URLs. In other words, 3 billion places that you can get information in less than half a second. Isn't that amazing? You think about the wealth of knowledge that is available to us, and yet it's not reliable. And yet we live in probably the most ignorant society that we have ever lived in today. Ignorant on so many levels. People can't think for themselves. Did you know I went to a restaurant yesterday, and I won't name them because it doesn't matter, but I went to a restaurant yesterday to get a sweet tea because I love sweet tea. And I went to this restaurant yesterday to get a sweet tea, and I'm sad to say that they know me by name. I go in there every day. So I go in there to get a sweet tea, and she sees me walking in, and she says, "I'm sorry, we're out of sweet tea." And I looked at her, and I looked back to where they had the sweet tea, and I saw that the sweet tea thing was empty. And she says, "But we got unsweet." And I said, "That's not acceptable." She started laughing, and she said, "Well, our truck ran, and it didn't bring sugar." So immediately, my mind goes to, can we not go next door to get sugar? There's a big grocery store right there. Big grocery store. And I bet they have a lot of sugar over there. And I reckon that didn't cross anybody's mind that John's going to be walking in wanting his sweet tea and we need to get some sugar. Listen, you can laugh at me all you want to. But we come across situations like that all the time where it's like people can't process, people can't think. We live in an ignorant society. There is wars going on all around this world, and there's ignorant people in this country that we live in that are taking sides on things that they don't have the slightest clue about. They're ignorant. Why are they ignorant? Because they don't know the word. They don't seek godly counsel. Huh? I ran into a hospital chaplain recently and had an interesting conversation with him. Very friendly guy, and we were talking about some different situations. And I was asking him about his what he does. You know, he's not a pastor of a church; he's a pastor at a hospital, and so he comes across all kinds of different faiths and different situations and people facing all kinds of different dire circumstances. But he told me something. He said, I thought this was interesting. He said, "You know, when you go to the world, don't be alarmed when you get the world's results." And he was talking about the way that different people respond and how they respond to situations and how they respond to counsel. And I'll never forget that. He said, "Don't be alarmed when you go to the world and you get worldly results." In other words, when you go to the world for ungodly counsel, what is ungodly counsel going to tell you to do? Well, it's going to tell you to quit your job. You're not happy? Just quit. You don't like your marriage? Just quit. Find another one. You're going to be told that you're the victim. Anybody ever heard that? You're going to be told that life's not fair. You're going to be told, you know what you need is you need a fresh start. You just need a new beginning. Just move away and just start all over. You're going to be told, you know what you need to do? You need to seek revenge. You know what you need to do? You need to hire a lawyer and sue them. This is all worldly advice. This is all stuff that leads down a road that you don't want to go down. But in other words, if you embrace the counsel of those who do not have a close relationship with the Lord, then you're going to go down a path that you really don't want to travel. What are we talking about? We're talking about, look over at Psalm 1. I mean, you know, you talk about the very first book, first chapter, first verse of Psalm, and what does it say? Psalm 1, verse number 1. Says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. For notice it says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, isn't that so good? Isaiah 30, verse number 1 and 2. Isaiah 30 says, woe to the rebellious children who take counsel but not of me. That's interesting, isn't it? Who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. In other words, they're piling up sin on top of sin. This is interesting. Verse 2 says, who walk to go down to Egypt. Egypt, of course, is a type of the world. Who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice. But what is counsel? Counsel is solicited information. It's solicited opinions. And he's saying, you didn't come to me. So it says, you walk down to Egypt, you go to the world, and you don't even ask my advice. Proverbs 10:20 says, the tongues of those who are upright and in right standing with God are as choice silver, and the minds of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God are of little value. You can just go on and on. Luke 6:39, Jesus himself said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Do you know it matters who you follow? That's what all this is talking about. The kind of people that you fellowship with, and it makes a difference in determining the outcome of your life. Don't be shocked where your life ends up if you're not living with walking in the counsel of the godly. If you're seeking after the world and living an ungodly lifestyle, don't be surprised where you end up. Come on now, this isn't rocket science. Huh? Find those who make deposits in your life, not withdrawals. Find people that leave you better than they find you. Find people that add to you, not take away. You ever been around somebody that just draws on you every single time you're around them? But on the flip side of that, have you ever left somebody and you thought, man, I'm just refreshed after being around that person? I read a quote today by Gloria Copeland that was so good. She said, find people who love God more than you do and keep company with them. She goes on to say, you'll put yourself in a position to grow spiritually as their godly influence pulls you up. Oh, thank God. Thank God. You're there in Psalm 1. Look over at Psalm 73. Are you with me tonight? Psalm 73, verse 23. I really like the picture that this gives. Psalm 73, verse 23 says, nevertheless, I am continually with you, and you have holden me by my right hand. You shall guide me with your counsel. Now notice that word counsel again. You shall guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. I like to use this verse if I'm ever doing a funeral. Because it really gives you the idea that as you walk through this life, you're walking hand in hand with the Lord. In fact, it even says that you walk with His right hand. I mean, isn't that a vivid picture? That's the way we should walk with the Lord, hand in hand, in His right hand. But it says after this life, it says that afterward, you'll receive me to glory. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? Anybody got kids? Anybody kids right now, maybe they're older, you remember back a day, you know, when you used to walk with your kids hand in hand, you know, and you're walking with them and you're leading them and you're following, you know, you're going a direction and they're following with you, but then they reach that age where they start getting out a little bit ahead of you. And they start thinking, well, I just know where I'm going. My youngest grandson, I heard him in the hallway. He was calling for Caleb right before service. And he was going, Dada, well, you know, Caleb was down in the youth room, and he was going down, and he finally walked past my office, and he said, Dada, and I said, who are you looking for? And he looked at me like, well, I'm saying Dada. So I said, are you looking for your dad? And he said, yeah. And he just kept walking. And I said, do you know where you're going? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, how about I take you to him? Well, he just kept walking. and started walking down here. And I said, well, he's not that direction. And he kind of stopped and he looked around for a minute. I said, you want me to take you to him? He goes, I don't know. So how about you follow me? And so we went walking down towards the youth room, and I hollered for him and sent him down the steps to Caleb. Well, you know, when you're young, you've got these kids, and anybody remember Ann Landers? You remember her? She used to have this column, and I love back in the 90s, she put this out, and I thought it was so good. It's a progression. You've probably seen this before. It's a progression of children and how they look up to their fathers. This was actually something that she put out on Father's Day of 1999. And so I thought this was so funny. It says, when I was, and so she states the age, when I was 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. You remember those days? When I was 5 years old, my daddy knows a whole lot. When I was 6 years old, my dad is smarter than your dad. When I was 8 years old, my dad doesn't exactly know everything. When I was 10 years old, in the olden days when my dad grew up, things sure were different. Notice the change? When I was 12 years old, oh well, naturally, dad doesn't know anything about that. He's too old to remember his childhood. 14 years old, don't pay any attention to my dad. He's too old-fashioned. 21 years old, him, my Lord, he's hopeless and out of date. 25 years old, dad knows about it, but then he should because he's been around so long. 30 years old, maybe we should ask dad what he thinks. After all, he has lots of experience. 35 years old, I'm not doing a single thing until I talk to dad. 40 years old, I wonder how dad would have handled it. He was so wise. 50 years old, I'd give anything if dad were here so now I could talk this over with him. Too bad I didn't appreciate how smart he was. I could have learned a lot from him. You know, this is just an article that's meant to be sort of feel good, humor, whatever, but how many of you know there's a lot of truth to that? You know, the sad thing is that this godly counsel ought to be the first place that we go. And because of this information age that we live in, it's the last. You know, we want to, like we said, we Google everything, or Facebook is the place to go, or WebMD, they'll give you all the information you need about what you're dealing with. My God, if you WebMD everything, you're dying. You got cancer, and you've only got a week to live. Come on now. What does it say? The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen? Are you with me? I saw a shirt today that I'm probably going to buy myself. It says, Papa knows everything. If he doesn't, he'll make it up real fast. Papa knows everything. Your Heavenly Father knows everything. Won't you dare to trust Him? Won't you dare to lean on His counsel? I tell you what, His counsel will stand, guaranteed. Are you with me? Glory to God. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We believe that, don't we? We confess that over our kids. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the Passion Translation, it reads, raise them up with loving discipline and counsel. That brings the revelation from our Lord. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Let me tell you something. You either believe the word or you don't. I said, you either believe the word or you don't. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what it seems like. You have to stay the course, don't you? I like in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. Somebody say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, what's the idea here? As for me and my house, our counsel is going to be from the Word. As we sit and we talk, I'm going to teach you the Word. We're going to sit in the house and you're going to hear the Word. And we walk by the way, we're going to hear the Word. And when you lie down, you're going to hear the Word. My kids will always get the Word from me. I said, my kids will always get the Word from me, whether they like it or not. That's what they're going to get from me. Now, I've got plenty of opinions. I say that all the time. Plenty of opinions. But my opinion's not going to save them. My opinion's not going to help them. My opinion's not going to get them down the road where they need to get. My opinion's not going to help them in the challenging circumstances there. My opinion's not going to do that. The Word is what's going to do it. The Word has never failed me. Never. Not one single time. Whenever I've relied on it. Because again, a lot of times we try to figure things out on our own because we don't want to bother the Lord with that. It's not that big of a deal. Or maybe we get so far in over our heads, we think, well, I can't go to the Lord now. It's never too late. I said, it's never too late. Jesus said in John 8:12, once again, Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It matters who you follow. Look over, you're in Deuteronomy. Flip over to John chapter 1. Are you still with me? John chapter 1. Starting with verse number 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. For there was a man sent from God, whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. For he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Somebody say, he's the light. I like there's a psalm in Psalm 63:8. This is David when he's in the wilderness, and many people feel that he wrote this when he was running from either Saul or Absalom, his son, but he oftentimes found himself on the run, unfortunately. And so David wrote this psalm in Psalm 63:8. It says, but my soul follows hard after you. One translation says literally it means to follow close behind. Notice, but my soul follows hard after you, for your right hand upholds me. Remember, we just read about his right hand, didn't we? My soul follows hard after you. It matters who you follow. You remember the scripture in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice it says, seek first. What is that? As opposed to second, or third, or fourth, or on down the line. In other words, you need to make the Word of God a priority in your life. You need to make godly counsel a priority in your life. You need to follow His counsel and quit talking to everybody else. What does the Word say? Oh, I'm telling you, you know, we can talk ourselves into a problem. We can talk ourselves into a frenzy, and we can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But until you make the decision that this is the only counsel that I'm going to stand for, your situation is not going to change. There's lots of opinions out there. Lots of good opinions. I'm not saying that there's opinions that aren't good. Lots of good opinions. But what does it say? This opinion will stand. This opinion will stand the test of time. See, we're talking about putting Him first in your life and surrendering to His lead, and His way leads to light. It leads to truth. It leads to answers. It leads to revelation. Again, Jesus said in John 12:35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness comes upon you. For he that walks in darkness does not know where he goes. Walk in the light. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Anybody ever been in a dark room? I mean, where there was no light at all? You literally don't know where you are, where you're going. You ever been in a dark room and you got up to stumble around to try to find your way, and you ended up on the opposite end than where you thought you was? I remember when I was growing up, I grew up working at a grocery store from the time that I was 12, 13 years old, whatever. And, you know, I loved these old grocery stores. You know, they had the old coolers and the meat lockers and the freezers. And so we would play games. You know, back then, during that time, I was a carryout. They used to have guys that helped you carry your groceries out, you know. And so so I was a carryout. And so a lot of times at the end of the night, or if you were on your break, you would end up in the back rooms where all these meat lockers and freezers and milk coolers and all this stuff was. And so, you know, we would play pranks on each other because, you know, we had nothing else better to do. And so so these old meat lockers and coolers and stuff, I mean, these doors, you know, it seemed like they were 6-8 inches thick, big old huge doors. And so if those doors ever slammed on you, you couldn't get out unless it had this knob with a rod through it, and that rod went through the door. And so you had to push that rod to open that door up. Well, you know, some of these old milk coolers were old and they didn't necessarily function right. And so, you know, if we're back there messing around, you know, one of us would quickly open up that milk cooler or that freezer, and we'd shove somebody in there and shut that door. Well, as soon as you shut that door, when you opened the door, the light came on. But when you shut that door, that light went out. Now, I'm telling you, there is nothing scarier than being in a freezer or a milk cooler, and you don't know where you are. And so many a times, I would be in that freezer or that cooler because I dished it out, so it came back to me. Many a times, found myself in that freezer not being able to find the exit, not being able to find the rod to push on to open that door. And I mean, I'm telling you, in a moment, that absolute darkness, that pitch darkness, just gets all over you. And you start having these thoughts, and panic sets in. And do you know that's the way life is? If you don't have any of the light in your life, and you don't have any of the truth of God's Word, this life can be overwhelming to you. This life can overtake you, and it'll cause you to have this panic feeling, and fear overcomes you, and you feel like there's no way out, and I can't get through this, and then this helplessness sets in, and you don't know where you're going. That's why the Bible says specifically, it says, walk while you have the light. Stay in the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walks in darkness does not know where he goes. I don't know about you, but I like to know where I'm going all the time. Come on now. I like to know where I'm going all the time. Goes on to say in verse 46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me shall not abide in darkness. In other words, stay out of the darkness. Stay in the light. When you're facing a challenge, when all hope is lost, when you can't sleep, when your mind is racing, when you're facing these situations in life, when it seems like you're in the proverbial dark, you need the light. You need the truth. Come on now. Psalm 18:28 says, for it is you who lights my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. You know, I love this. Micah 7:8 says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Yeah, we all get in those positions. Yeah, we all get to that point in life where it seems like all is dark and nothing's going right and we can't get answers. Listen, you look the enemy in the face and you say, it might seem like I've fallen. It might seem like I'm hopeless, but he is my light. I'm coming out the other side. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message that we have heard of him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So where are we going to go for light? We're going to go to the Word. We're going to get godly counsel. What do we mean by light? Well, you know, the word from cover to cover talks about the light, but light is just simply a way of saying truth. Find the truth. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Did you get that? Thy word is truth. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You know, like we said before, you know, there's all kinds of things available to us, all kinds of information. And in fact, I say it all the time, you know, we live in an over-informed, over-stimulated, over-medicated society. You know, commercials about this drug and that drug and supplements and self-help books and cure-alls, all in the name of, they have the answer, they have the facts, they have the truth. Did you know alone, something else goofy that I looked up today, but I was just curious, but there are over 417,000 self-help books on Amazon.com. 417,000 self-help books. There's over 20,000 FDA-approved prescription drugs. Yeah, we live in an over-medicated, over-stimulated, over-informed society, and yet it's all meaningless unless it's the truth of God's Word. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm all for medicine. I'm all for doctors. I mean, a dentist is a doctor, isn't he? You go somewhere for your glasses, that's a doctor. I have a doctor. I'm all for doctors. I'm all for medicines. But you know, one thing that we always say and always try to make it a point to say is that if you're going to go to a doctor, you better do it in faith. If you're going to take medicine, you better do it in faith. No matter what you decide to do, you better take it as directed. Again, how foolish would it be to go to the doctor and them give you a prescription and you take it home? You go fill it and everything. You go to the drugstore and you fill it and it sits right there on the counter and does nothing for you because you don't take it. You got to take it as directed. Well, this stuff don't work for me. Well, then you're wasting your time. I mean, big debates were had over the COVID vaccine. Heated debates. Anger, violence over the COVID vaccine. Do it, don't do it. Have it, don't have it. Take the ninth dose of it or not. Or however many is out there now, I don't. But I'll tell you this much. If you did take it, you better take it in faith. But if you don't take it, you better not take it in faith. But what's the common denominator? You better do it in faith. Well, Pastor Mark talks about it often when he gets into some of this. You know, they talk about the number of things that we are encountering every single day that could end your life just like that. I'll tell you what, this life we live, you better live by faith. You better put your hope and your trust in God. You better seek godly counsel. You better walk in the light. Because if you're not going to do it, you're going down a path that you don't want to be down. Amen. Glory to God. Everyone's searching for answers to their dilemma. But if you don't seek godly counsel, did you know the advice that you're going to get is likely going to change tomorrow anyways? You remember the advice that you were given as kids and, you know, about certain things, and then you grow up and then all of a sudden they say, oh, they don't believe that anymore. Oh, they don't believe that anymore. Everybody stand to your feet. Why? Because worldly counsel changes. Opinions change. Science changes. You know, I'm sticking with the science. Well, science changes. God's Word doesn't change. God's Word, what does it say? God's Word is what stands. God's Word doesn't change. So what are we talking about? If you're going to seek counsel, seek godly counsel. If you're going to get opinions, get God's opinion. Make sure that you're staying in the light. Don't walk in darkness. It's not His desire for you to be in darkness. It's His desire for you to be informed, to know what the Word of God says, because in fact, the Bible says, this will set you free. This will make you free. This will cause you to live the life that you want to live. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we're ever thankful for Your Word. It's the truth that makes free. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. And we declare that we will seek only godly counsel in the areas and the affairs of our life. If there's an area of our life we need instruction, we go to you first. If we need wisdom, we go to you first, knowing that your word is what stands. We're ever thankful for it. We will always follow hard after you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say, that's good.
That's good.
The word is good. Amen. Praise God. Well, make it a point, if you can, to stay and pray with us. You are dismissed. Amen.